Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, March 23rd. I am Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California with three of my sisters, four out of five. Okay, that's pretty good for a Sunday morning, wouldn't you say, sisters?
Yeah.
So, Leah, in Pasadena, California, all good there?
Liz, everything's great. I have a fresh cup of coffee. The kitchen is clean. I'm done for the day. I feel like I'm done for the day.
Wow. And I hear you have some sort of new holiday you're going to pitch to us.
No, it's not new, Liz. It's ancient. I just have become made aware of it. And it's celebrating this week. So stay tuned because I know you're all going to want to get on board. And it's an international holiday. So it means our satellite sisters around the world, Hong Kong, Sweden, Denmark, we're talking to you. You're going to want to get on board.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. You have a Law and Order report for us today.
Yes, I do, Liz. I had jury duty this week, and I spent a lot of time in the jury room, and I have a few suggestions for improving the situation there.
Okay. Well, you know, I did enjoy your suggestions on the Tuesday show for what your sanctions against Russia would be. And I actually thought yours were quite imaginative and would be totally effective.
Believe me, Liz, if they could just get those dogs, if they could get Putin's Labrador, we really would have a very different situation going on. That's all I'm saying.
If you have not listened to the most recent Satellite Sisters that Julie and Leanne did on Tuesday, you will get a kick out of that. And Sheila Dolan, you are with us from South Pasadena. But I understand you have a new signature segment you would like to try out today.
I am trying it out. It's called, Is It Just Me or ...
That is super promising.
It's been a while since you've introduced a signature segment, too.
It's been a few years.
It's like the Shamrock Shake coming back.
I know. And plus, I need to talk about hair.
Oh, you do?
Okay.
Yes. Well, when you texted me yesterday that you were at your hair salon, which is also my hair salon, we quickly had an impromptu rendezvous there. So it was good. You had a major hair situation going on.
I did. So I feel I'm done for the day because my hair is done. I'm done for the year. That's it.
Okay, Lee, and we actually had a birthday shout out. We wanted to start the show with?
I was surprised and shocked and pleased to read in the New York Times today under a beautiful photo illustration, Gloria Steinem is 80 years old this week. Oh, 80.
That is amazing.
Wow.
And first of all, it makes you either feel really old or really young or just really something. But I think we should dedicate the show to Gloria Steinem. She did some hard work on all of our behalf back in the day.
She did. No Gloria Steinem means no Satellite Sisters.
That's true. That is true.
And she resisted getting her hair done for years. I mean, she just let it go, Leanne. And you got to give her props for that.
That was essentially
going to be a theme of the show. Hair is going to be worked into every segment. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that was actually a good chunk of the article was like, when you look that good at 40, she said now when people see her at 80, they're like, oh, she doesn't look that good. Well, she's 80.
80 is really old.
80 is really old.
Our mom used to say there was young old, there's old, and then there's old old. And 80 is your old old.
Yes.
Right. She said, when you turn 80, the wheels come off, right? Isn't that what mom said?
Yeah, it is. But for Gloria, she's looking good. So thank you, Gloria. The show is for you.
All right, Julie, Law and Order, were you voted a foreman of any kind? Were you put in charge of administering the law in Dallas County or whatever county you're in?
No, Liz, sisters, no, I was not. And that's the good news. I was not selected for any jury panel, but I did spend, a good portion of a day at the Frank Crowley Criminal Court Building in Dallas County. And I just, it is amazing, jury duty.
I mean,
because the whole world shows up. I mean, of course, we're showing up because we have those summons that force us to show up. But nonetheless, it is a remarkable system. I mean, you see everybody coming through the door, don't you? I mean, it's
yes.
Right.
And it is really, really great that we have a legal system where you are judged by just ordinary fellow citizens. That's wonderful. So I enjoyed that. And, you know, it just renews your sense of like that this is a great country and this is a great system and nobody else has it quite like this. And thank goodness for that.
Now, you always feel that way when you don't get picked for a jury. You feel that most.
I think that's true. So I spent most of my day, about 5 hours, just sitting in the large jury room with about 200 people. And they, from time to time, they'd call out numbers and certain people would leave to go, you know, get to serve on panels, whatever. But I dodged that bullet. So I had a lot of time in there. And I just have a few suggestions for sort of tightening up the law and order in the jury room. Okay, it's just my humble opinion. I mean, first of all, I'm sure it's true in every jury room. They have about 15 signs around saying no cell phone usage. You know, I mean, it's a big room. There are 200 people. You know, they make about 10 announcements. We see a video that says no cell phone usage. You know, it's just, you know, there's signs all over the room. They're like, if you need to take a call, just step out in the hall. I mean, they're very, very nice about it. It's not like you can't get on the phone. So the woman that was three rows ahead of me that continued to take calls all day long, she would take her coat, she would put it over her head,
yeah,
and she'd get the cell phone.
That's okay. Funny.
She was fooling no one, okay?
She was creating like a green cone of silence, like her own little cone of silence there.
That's what she had going. And so she took several calls this way, okay? And I just felt like I needed to flag down, I don't know, a bailiff or someone, and that she needed to have an extra jury day just because one call, okay, you let it pass. But it's no one else in the room is using their cell phones because they've told us 15 times not to use our cell phones. And she somehow feels that if she just puts her coat over her head, that she can conduct business all day long.
That's okay. The Alex Baldwin jury room behavior.
Exactly.
Okay, Sheila, speaking of like psychoanalysis, okay, the woman across the way from me showed up with the jury room with a large thermal glass of ice. There was no beverage in it, just ice. Okay. And so I think she might have gotten a little nervous about being in jury duty. It had anxiety about like missing work, whatever. So she spent most of the morning rattling the cup. She wanted to hear the ice moving around. And then she'd take one piece at a time, stick it in her mouth and start.
Oh, wow.
I thought she should be. Yeah, that was bad. I mean, I gave her the stink eye. I gave her my best stink
eye. I'm sure you did.
And that.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. I mean, that's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it was loud. It was really, really loud. And because of those thick thermal cups, the ice cubes really made a lot of noise going around. Now, I did think there were two other people that I felt should just be dismissed on a humanitarian, you know, gesture. One woman came in with an oxygen tank. I was like, please, can't she go home?
Yes.
Really? I mean, I just, if you have an oxygen tank, you're dismissed. You should have one of automatic dismissals. And then a woman in front of me had a surgical mask on. So I don't know if she...
Okay, then my stunt meter goes up. I mean, that's just a ploy. I would wear one too. I think that's a great idea.
No.
I'm going to use it next time.
I felt like either she had a compromised immune system and needed a mask on, or she was compromising my immune system. You know, one way or the other, I feel like she should just be dismissed. There must be someone else we can get, okay?
Or she just assumed that everyone else in the room was going to have some kind of disease that she
didn't want.
She
just didn't want to catch something. So I don't know. But the worst though, and I have never seen this, there was a woman brought a date on her to jury duty. Okay. Let me explain. Okay.
What do you mean?
This is a middle-aged man. Okay. He was trying to look like Justin Bieber. He had like dyed the the center of his hair blonde, but he was wearing one of those extra large, you know, button down shirts that he couldn't tuck in because he had a little, you know, middle-aged paunch, but he was trying to look pretty hip. And he was with this other potential jurist, a much younger Asian woman with a designer handbag. And when I noticed them right away when they came in at 8 o'clock, and I was like, wow, those two have gotten very friendly awfully fast. I could not figure out, like, did they meet on the bus or something? Or
yeah,
is it just a coincidence that they were like good friends and they both ended up with the same jury duty day? But then I noticed that she was the only one with the paperwork. Okay. So he, and then they were sitting in the front of the room. They got up, they moved to the back of the room, and they were making out in the back. They were making out. They were canoodling in the back of the jury room.
Okay. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So yes. He came with her on a date. I don't know. I mean, he didn't have any paperwork. Because we all had to like raise our hand when they called out our number, and his hand never went up. Her hand did. So she got a jury badge. He did not. So he was just there.
Wow.
On a date. I don't think that's allowed.
Not seem safe. I don't think you should be allowed in the jury room if you're not an actual juror.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, it's weird.
I look forward to jury duty. Sometimes I think, okay, maybe there's a potential mate in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people.
There are a lot of people.
And you would not be the first, Sheila. I think there are jury room romances, but bringing your own romance with you, that, I believe, is unprecedented, Julie. You are correct.
You wouldn't think that a lot of people would be rushing to be fake jurors. You know, like to spend the day in the jury room. So they don't really have some kind of check there. Like if you don't have paperwork, you can't sit in the room. They'll take anyone. I mean,
he's a floater. He saw her. He was waiting probably outside the building and just got in line with her.
And you think that's it?
No,
I
don't think that's
cute.
It.
And maybe this is his.
I think he doesn't have a job, so he went with her to jury duty. Is what I think. If he's a middle-aged man trying to look like Justin Bieber, he has fairly limited potential. So he found a woman that would canoodle with him, and he was sticking with her. That's what I think.
Okay. Well, I think it's got to stop. So
I agree, because how's Sheila going to meet anyone if people start bringing dates to jury duty?
Cuts down my chances.
It really does. Well, okay. Julie, we're glad that you're free so we can do the Tuesday show.
But yes, I'm all set. Yeah.
Good job doing your duty, as they say. All right. Well, I have some more etiquette. I have an etiquette question for you guys. Yesterday, we were at a restaurant. My husband and I, Saturday, we decided to go out to lunch. He's been gone a lot on work. I've been gone the last two weekends. So we decided to have a lunch date. But we wanted to actually talk about some stuff. So we purposely picked a restaurant that was quiet. And where we could have a conversation, not a busy lunch place. But it's a place that's been in town for a while. They revamped their menu. And it was busy, but not packed. And here's the thing. They had, like, aggressively excellent service. I don't know how else to describe this. Like, we were just two people having lunch. And they must have checked on our table, interrupted our conversation 14 times. I counted.
And I hate that.
What is that? Is that supposed to be good service? Because, I mean, we just ordered and then they put down the food and they said, would you like anything else? Our answer was no. And we meant it. We weren't kidding. We didn't need anything else. And then the waitress checked again. It's like this. She was standing behind us waiting till we put food in our mouth. And then she came over and said, is everything okay? So we needed to respond. And then the maitre d' came over and asked us if everything was fine. It was lunch for two people. It wasn't heart surgery. Things were good. And we were actively talking. We weren't a couple that, you know, was just looking at each other, like hoping someone would interrupt us. And then I finished my meal. And again, like the second I put the fork down, she's like, can I take the plate? And, you know, I was going to use the dipping sauce for the bread. I was like, could you just keep it? Like, I didn't want to explain that to her. I'm like, I know. I just, and then 12 seconds later, you know, a busboy came by and said, can I take this? And I just said, take it. I can't take it anymore. Just take it. And just take the plate, even though I'm not actually finished. And then they honestly, we had, if we finished with a cup of coffee, Barrick and I still had a half a cup each. The waitress asked if we needed more coffee. No, thank you. The bellboy, the busman asked if we needed more. No. And the third time, the maitre d' came over again. And by then I snapped. I was like, no, I don't need. I snapped. What?
This sounds a really great lunch, Leah.
What is
it? Sounds so tense.
I don't understand, really though. Like, why is that perceived as good service?
I don't know. Yeah.
Have you found
that? Because they can tell. They can tell if you're involved in a conversation.
Yes.
You know, so that should be like the just back off sign. If the couple at the table is clearly like having a conversation with each other, don't linger and interrupt. Just like if they want you, they'll flag you down.
Exactly. Right.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus Get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Because it was, again, it was not a packed restaurant. It was this weird, like, aggressively excellent service. And it turned out to just be awful. It was so intrusive.
Well, was this a new staff in addition to the new menu items?
I don't know. It might have been. So maybe this, I don't know. I don't know if this was on purpose. But when the maitre d' doesn't need to ask you how your lunch is, for God's sakes. I mean, really. I know. They do that at fancy restaurants at dinner time. The maitre d' will swing by once an evening make around. I don't even understand that. But this was like tomato soup. It's fine. It's tomato soup.
Patronized. I feel it's insulting.
It was exhausting. It was exhausting. I was exhausted from talking to the wait staff. I thought, like, is there a polite way of saying leave us alone? Like, I thought, like, maybe next time I'd be peremptory, like when they put lunch down and I say everything's fine, we'll call you if we need you. You know?
Yeah. Well, why do you should say that? Like, I'm going to have a conversation. Please don't disturb us. Yeah.
I just thought it was very odd, and I.
But as a former waitress, I know that part of your duties are you put the food down, then you have to wait, bump, and you have to go back and check to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
That's part of your assignment.
I always felt lingering in the area, like just being there, sometimes even making eye contact without actually like waiting till the patron put food in their mouth and then saying, is everything okay?
That's annoying. I don't want to make eye contact with anybody.
They can't read your minds, Leanne. They're not mind readers.
I know, but it was just, too much.
They're just trying to serve lunch.
Okay. Right, but then at least, Julie, then one person should be designated as the follow-up person.
Right.
It's either the waitress or the busboy or the maitre d'.
Right.
Yes. Three follow-ups on each course, including the coffee course.
I mean, we still had half a cup. No, we don't need any more.
I can drink coffee, Leanne. You do like coffee.
I like coffee, but at lunchtime, I just wanted like a cup. We weren't.
Well, how would they know that, Leanne? They can't read your mind unless they ask you.
I think Liz is right.
I think she had a right to snap. I do.
I snapped. I snapped. I said, felt like you, Sheila. I snapped.
Okay. Did you and your husband accomplish any of your conversational
goals?
We did
accomplish it, but it was a real distraction, Liz. And we had purposely left the house. So I think that was the point. Like, we were really talking. So we just wanted people to eat lunch and go away. And I just didn't understand it. So I'm tempted to, I never like do reviews on Yelp, but I am tempted to like almost call the restaurant and tell them, hey, I like your food. But this is what happened. Like, back off. Someone needs to.
I think you should, Leanne. Yeah. I think that would give you some satisfaction and may help them. And maybe they'll want you to come back and try again.
And they'll just ignore you for a whole evening.
Coffee.
Yeah, I know. All right. So that's okay. That's maybe Sheila, maybe that can go under your signature. Is it me or ...
Right.
Segment. But
as a person, who's written ranty Yelp reviews before, it's really not that satisfying.
Okay,
you're just like a crazy person writing a Yelp review.
All right,
and I've done it, so I think you have a right to tell them, Leanne.
Okay, all right, you're right. Thank you, Sheila. I trust you. I thought there I would gain some satisfaction or their attention, but maybe just a phone call on Monday.
A nice little phone call.
Yeah.
There you go.
How about that? All right, on to happier news. This week there's a holiday I want us all to embrace, and it's on Tuesday, it's International Waffle Day. And
I'm in. I don't even need to know anymore. That sounds excellent.
Isn't that great? Okay.
That is so good.
And it originated in Sweden, where if you would prefer to go to call it in its original Swedish, Waffeldagen, which is even better. International Waffeldagen. So I just thought, this week I posted on my Facebook page that Friday was National Puppy Day because that's what they announced on the news. And then I got a lot of pushback, people correcting me like, no, it's Sunday. I was like, okay, I don't know. They were celebrating National Puppy Day. on the news today. How am I supposed to know? Like,
but I enjoyed the second half of that post, Leanne, because you get in that post, which is why it needed to be on a Friday.
Yeah.
You gave us all permission to spend the rest of the day at work just watching puppy videos on YouTube. Yeah. So that would not be as effective on a Sunday. That was a Friday message.
Exactly. I don't know, but I did get pushback that I had the wrong day. So that's why I went to like the calendar of international days, you know, so I was checking that up, and that's when I discovered that Tuesday is International Waffle Day. So I'm going to take out my waffle iron and dust it up. But I know people around the world enjoy waffles. And so I just want Sheila, I thought that would be a good one for you to study in your, you know, work that into your curriculum.
Well, Leanne, I'm already ahead of you because we are studying Europe right now. And in an effort to just gloss over Europe, because I know nothing about Europe, I created a sort of a menu of activities they could do called, get this, smorgasbord.
No.
This is in addition to your lunch at the Olive Garden or wherever you went that went so poorly?
Buco di Beppo.
Yes, Buco di Beppo, that's right.
It's just, and it's a menu of activities they could do. And I think International Waffle Day falls beautifully into smorgasbord.
It does.
Because one of the activities is finding a European recipe and making it at home so I don't have to do any work and bringing it in.
Okay, waffles for everyone. Sheila, this is perfect.
Yeah, but tip process. You might want to tip off your parents so you could just be awash in Belgian waffles on Waffeldagen. That's okay.
Well, we have a Swedish family in my class, so it's a done. It's already done. I'm going to send them an email this weekend.
Yeah, I think pitting the Swedish waffles against the Belgian waffles would be interesting.
Yes.
There's so much turmoil in Europe right now. Maybe it could just be a way of addressing some of that.
Sounds turmoil fun. In Europe. Okay, so get on that.
Waffle cones count too, if you don't have a waffle maker, if you just go right to a waffle cone.
Okay. And Julie, I think that's the beauty of
ice cream.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the beauty of Waffeldagen is you can celebrate any way you want. You can celebrate with a sweet waffle. You can celebrate with a savory waffle. There's a restaurant here in Orange County, Brooksy's, that they make Belgian waffles, Brussels, Brooksy. There you go. But they put they make you like a corned beef sandwich on a waffle, and it's fantastic. Mm. I'm just here to tell you.
So that sounds good.
It's good. So there are a lot of
things.
And
I don't even eat meat, but that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Did you guys know that? Sheila's been a vegetarian for an hour.
That.
Yeah, for an hour.
When did this happen? Was this European history lesson?
No, a couple weeks ago, I decided to go veggie again. Not again. Okay. I mean, I'm vegetarian, actually. Okay. Yep. Okay.
After the gluten-free didn't work.
You know, Leanne, it's interesting you bring up waffles because I have seen waffle places busting out all over Santa Monica. Like waffles could be the new cupcakes.
Yeah.
I was starting to formulate that thought in my head, and now you have crystallized it for me. This may very well be a thing. The waffle thing.
Okay.
Because there was a Belgian waffle place on Wilshire in my neighborhood that was getting increasingly crowded on weekend mornings. And I would spot that as I drove by. And then I've noticed, purely as a competitive reaction, there are two or three other breakfast places like within a few blocks of there that have countered with their own waffles because clearly they could see all the people waiting for waffles and nobody was in line for their, you know, frittatas. And so there's a bit of a waffle war on Wilshire. And, you know, Santa Monica often sets trends for the rest of the country. So I think you might have put your finger on something that will soon sweep the nation.
Well, it could really bust out on Waffeldoggin. So you better arm yourself, Liz. Be careful. Be careful driving down Wilshire on that day.
Wilshire Waffle Wars Tuesday is going to be crazy.
It is. Woo. All right. And then coming up this week in our family, two events we're very excited about. There's something here in LA that is just really a festival for television lovers, of which I am one. And I'm happy to say I'm raising two people who love TV, my son Colin and my son Brooks. And it's called the Paley Fest. It takes place, it's sponsored by the Paley Center for Media Arts. And they've upgraded it to a fancy, the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. And they gather the cast and crew, the cast and writers of television shows, and they're all on stage, and it's a panel discussion, usually led by kind of an interesting comedian or performer, and the crowd gets to ask questions and you get sort of behind the scenes views of the shows. And it's become so popular they had to move it to this bigger theater. So this week we are going to see back to back nights at the Paley Fest the writing staff and the cast of Community and Veep. And oh, so, yes.
Oh, well, that should be really fun, Lee.
Yes. I feel like that is definitely worth staying out late and getting up late for school. I think this is sort of the kind of extracurricular activity my kids can embrace. So in preparation, we have watched almost 100 episodes of Community, it feels like, in the last 4 days.
I feel that's like time well spent. I know it was exam week for your younger son, so he needed some kind of release valve.
Yes. Yes, we missed last week. Unfortunately, there was a Sleepy Hollow panel and it was killing us not to go, but it was exam week. So I didn't want to torture my younger son by going by myself, which seemed kind of pathetic to go by yourself. But Liz, you went to the Parks and Rec panel. How
I
was
did.
That?
It was really, really fun. Parks and Rec is such a funny show.
It is funny.
I love Amy Poehler. I just think she is the greatest. You know, Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, for me, have just transformed television. And so, right, they had the writer-creator of the show and then, like, 8 members of the cast. And that cast, like, everyone on that cast is just very funny in their own way. Like,
yes.
Nick Offerman was so hilarious on the panel. And he, I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's like gone through some kind of personal makeover / weight loss / new sexy beard. Nick Offerman all of a sudden was looking very hot.
Wow, Liz.
I would have expected. And, you know, he's married to Megan Mullally. So,
oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, he is.
Oh.
So he had several good Megan Mullally jokes because they were talking about who their favorite guest stars were on the show. And of course, he picked his wife, Megan Mullally. But the panel, the host, the moderator, was someone who himself had a big guest star role on that show, Patton Oswalt.
Oh, so he's funny. I like him.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so the thing about Patton Oswalt is that he was really great. When they went to the audience questions, you know how like 99.9% of the time audience questions are terrible,
yeah.
Right? They just always are.
Sorry, audience. But yeah, they're just...
In any kind of a forum, just... You know,
well, it's usually the questioner just wants to talk as long as they can. So it's not so much even that the actual question is bad. It's that it's like 15 minutes about them.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But somehow Patton Oswalt has this.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, that she's still testy from that lunch.
No, I don't want more coffee.
Do not want more coffee. Just take that grilled artichoke. Just take it.
Give that girl a waffle, please. Okay. Carry on.
Okay. Anyway, Patton Oswalt, I guess because of his long experience being a stand-up comic, had a very keen sense for who the total whack jobs were in the audience that he could call on. You know, because it wasn't one of those line up at the mic scenarios. It was just raise your hand in the audience. And Leanne said, this is the Dolby Theater, which you may know as the Kodak Theater. They just renamed it. So this is the big, beautiful theater where the Oscars take place. And it's 3 tiers up, packed with people. I mean, these people are fanatics.
Yeah.
But Patton Oswalt managed to unerringly pick out these totally charming, wacky people who had charming, wacky things to say and questions of the cast. So that helped a lot. They also showed us an advanced episode at the very beginning. So, you know, people love that, feel like they're in on the cool thing. And the Sleepy Hollow panel, Leanne.
Yeah. How is that?
Because several people from my office went and they don't watch Sleepy Hollow. You at your house, you love that show because it's so out of control, right?
It is. It's got George Washington and the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And it's got like sexy British guys in the lead role and, you know, witchy sisters. It's fantastic. No, sisters that are witches, you know, so it's great.
Yeah. So several members of several women I work with came in the next morning. They were like, what is that show? We don't even know what they saw the last 5 minutes of the season finale this year. So an advanced peek of the season finale. So they're like, we had no idea what we were looking at or what was going on or who those people were, but they're intrigued now having been in the audience. So this coming Thursday, I will be with you at the Veep panel.
Yeah.
That is really, really going to be fun.
I can't wait. You know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is really one of my favorites. I just think she's absolutely brilliant. She's so, so funny in that show. And again, there's another show where every cast member is great. And then the writing is unbelievable. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
that's a good mom. That's really a good mom. Taking your kids out on a school night for that, Leanne.
For the VPN. Two in a row. Two nights in a row. You're driving to Hollywood at rush hour. I am a good mom.
Well, you know, it's Hollywood, Sheila. It's the entertainment capital of the world. Yeah. Chances are that this is the industry the boys will end up working in. Right?
You are right, Liz. Think
of it as professional training. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you're right. She's someone I put in the same category with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Right.
Like, thank God for these women creating great television you can actually watch and have fun with. Though Julia Louis-Dreyfus, her swearing on Veep is like the best swearing you ever heard.
It is. No, it's the most creative. It's just mind-blowing, the bad language on that. It's so inventive. I want to share that with my kids. So
such a good mom.
That's right. Don't just go for the obvious swear. Really push yourself. If you're gonna use foul language, make it really foul.
Okay. So Sheila, nice to have you back on the show. I know.
I know. I've been out of commission, really. I mean, I've just been working, just Europe and math and just so much. There's so much to teach. Yeah. And so little time.
Yeah, you were telling me yesterday that you think this third grade math under the new curriculum might be too advanced for you.
And I finally admitted that to myself. I was really frustrated all year. We adopted a program from Singapore called Singapore Math. And I realize now part of my frustration, or all of my frustration, really stems from the fact that I can't do it.
Yeah.
That it's too hard, Leanne. It's too hard for me. So that's why my kids are we're all having a hard time.
Okay. That's okay.
And it's good to. It's all right. It's a
you
learning
know, math
curve.
Is
it's
math a... is overrated.
Let's have waffles, for goodness sake.
And watch TV. Have you tried just watching more TV in the classroom?
No, I haven't watched TV, but I discovered a new, it's a new buzzword in teaching. It's called flip teaching. And I think it's a great concept. You basically videotape yourself teaching. And then you just slap it up on the screen. So you could be a virtual teacher. And I think I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
Because I could do it on the weekends, slap it up, and then just stand in the back of the room and watch
myself. That is the dedication. Flip teaching.
Is the theory that they'll pay more attention because they'll think it's TV?
Yes. Yes, it is, Liz.
Okay.
I mean, say it is. But anyway, yes, I've been exhausted. So one of the things I do to make myself feel better, and this is something when I know I need my hair done, it just builds. It like starts 2 weeks, you know, ahead of time. And I just like, this is what I think about. I am going to get my hair done. I can't wait. Like, that's my constant thought in my mind. Mm-hmm. Is because for me,
no room for math if you're thinking about your hair, no doubt.
And I go to a very overpriced, inappropriate hair salon in Santa Monica. So what I do is I drive, 30, 40 miles there, and I get it, and I get my hair done. But this is how I justify it. I only get my hair cut once a year now. So that's
really
pretty good. Yes. Once a year. My hairdresser, Star, who is also your hairdresser.
Yes.
Has now told me I only need to get it cut once a year because my hair is long and I can go in for free bang trims, which I never do.
Because it's 30 miles away.
So I just wait and then I just put it up in a bun head. So I'm now into sort of a low maintenance, high price, low maintenance situation. But the reason I like going to our hairdresser, Liz, hairdresser, can I say the name of the salon?
Sure.
Okay, the name of the salon is Shin. It is also the owner's name. And she's just this, I mean, she's a force of nature, the main hairdresser. She scares me, frankly. I would never go to her. I mean, but this is why I like the salon. The ratio of staff members to customers is like 4 to 1.
Well, I mean, what do they do?
There are so many people working there, and the way the salon is set up, they have a garden in the back. So people just, they're floaters. They're assistants. There're new people. There's Roxanne at the desk. And now they have a cappuccino maker. I don't know if you know about that, Liz.
No, I don't.
You can get a cappuccino. You can get refills. You can, it's just, there are never any customers in there. It's incredible to me.
It's true. It feels more like a clubhouse, really. And there, even if it was full, there are only like 6 stations in the whole shop anyway. It's not like what. So there, you're right. There are like 20 people for 6 chairs. I don't know how that math works. That is Singapore math to me. I don't know how that works out.
And everything's just low lighting. It's very small. It's very cozy. And what I told my hair. Okay, so I got my hair colored yesterday. And so what I told Scarlett, or my colorist, I'll just call her that, for lack of a better word, is that I just want every inch of my hair dyed. I just want my entire head drenched in color. I didn't care what color. I just want my life dyed. That's what I told her. And that's what she did. She took out about 3 different shades of whatever. Then she took out a big tub of dye and just drenched every inch of my hair. And I think, to me, that's a really, it's just so therapeutic. Jeez. I mean, with every strand, you feel like you're just getting better and better. I don't know what it
is. Your whole life is improving?
Yes. Yes, I do. I feel that, Liz.
You only go there once a year and you had for this experience?
Yes. And because it's 40 miles away. And
but you can't only dye your hair once a year.
Well, what I do is I just let it go. I mean, the reason that inspired me was because I was actually trying to teach Singapore math. I was just started our unit on money, and I just given the kids their hands-on materials, so they have a billfold full of money and lots of play money, which was good for me.
Yes, that is
true. I really needed to count out the change to figure out how to subtract 90 cents from $1.85. Okay, so. Anyway, so our webmaster came through and started snapping pictures that day, unbeknownst to me. I didn't know that I was in one of the pictures. Lo and behold, I go on our website. There's a picture of me sort of standing over a child, leaning down, and all you can see is gray roots. Just like, I went into Martin, our webmaster. I said, Martin, are you kidding me with that picture? What? Take it off now. Is there some way to remove that photo? So that's when I knew it was time to go to Shin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I texted
you. You have lost me. You've lost me in this story. I'll be honest. I don't know what this story is about.
The story is about healing through hair.
Okay. Okay.
And so I like to text Liz because she lives in the neighborhood, and she did come by yesterday, which was wonderful, right, with Ferris?
Yes, I was in the neighborhood with Ferris, and so we just popped right in because it's also my salon. They know me and they know Ferris. It's one of the few places, I'm sure it's against the health regulations to bring your dog to a hair salon, but they have no problem with that, so.
They have no problem with anything. They'll order you lunch. You can stay there all day. I could have stayed there all day if I wanted to.
Weren't you there one time when Steven Tyler was there?
Yes.
Yes. So when Sheila talks about Shin being a force of nature, it's sort of in that way. It's like Shin seems to have this sort of celebrity friendship circle. It's like she almost doesn't need to touch their hair. You know, it's just
she barely does. She has so many assistants. I mean, she talks to the person. Her voice gets very low, and she starts talking to them about transformation and healing and life changes. Wow. And how do you see your hair right now? I see it as gray and old and broken. Okay, that's I feel old. Just fix it. So anyway, no, Shin is scary. And sometimes she looks at me, she recognizes me. Sometimes she doesn't. It's fine. But I got out of there and I felt renewed. I mean, I need that. I need that once a year. We all do, right, Julie?
Yes, Sheila. Yes, I go more than once a year.
Yeah, you seem to go to the hairdresser every other week. So when you say you go once a year, is this like your vegetarianism that you just started this week going once a year?
Is this the new you?
That's okay. You busted me. I just started this week going
once a year. Okay, all right. I mean, come on. Every time I talk to you, you're at the hairdresser or eating meat. So I don't.
No, I'm not eating meat right now. I am not.
Okay. But you're eating salmon because you were over at my house scarfing down salmon this week.
Thanks, Leon. Okay. You invited me for dinner.
That's true.
Okay. All right. So
and you ate it.
Okay. That's just okay. So let's move on. So I'm going to try to. And the other thing they did was they took a curling wand at the end. So I am totally obsessed with that now. I'm going to order one on Amazon and try to do what they did to me, which was, you know, wrap your hair around that curling wand. That is that takes at least 6 months off your look of how I feel. I think that's really going to make me feel younger.
6 months younger?
Yes. Okay. Speaking of old, all right. This is my new segment. Is it just me or? All right. And I was just thinking, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks and I just wanted to run it by the sisters. And is it just me or are bags of chips harder to open now? I mean, I have been struggling with bags of chips for a while and I just wanted to admit that, number one. I want to find out if anybody else was struggling. I feel like the way they're stealing bags of chips these days, they could send those chips to space and the chips would not open. I mean, I have been known to to tear open a bag of chips with a key, with a car key. I mean, when I'm coming out of Trader Joe's and I need a chip and I cannot open that bag, I just spear it. I take my biggest car key and I just plunge it into the bag to try to rip it open. I mean, does anyone else feel that they're struggling with chips?
I have not had that experience.
No. Sheila, I'm sorry I haven't, but I'm glad you mentioned it, Sheila. I want to honor your struggle that you're going through here.
I mean, kids at school ask me to open their water bottles and I there's a little bit of resistance. But basically, I get the top off. But when I'm struggling with the bag of chips, there is no way I'm going to open that bag except for to take some other implement, like a key or a large
knife.
Okay.
Scissors. Knife
and slit it open. I mean, sometimes I just grab it and I put it on the ground and I stomp on it.
Okay. Well, I think to answer your initial question, is it me or it's you? In this case, it's you.
Okay. My second one, which I think you will relate to more, is...
we'll have to see about that.
Is it just me or does it take at least two people to get through the self-checkout line at this point? I mean...
Okay, that's true.
I not see the point of self-checkout when I feel like I am literally a grocer and working in a store looking up codes and I cannot do it. I mean, it's just too much for me. You know, the organic cucumber is not in the lookup code. So I have to go to all sorts of areas on the computer, which inevitably the bell starts ringing and the girl has to come over.
Well,
I mean,
well, first of all, it's not a computer. You know, it's just
scanner.
I mean, I don't know if you cover that in your Singapore math. It's essentially just a screen, a touch screen.
I mean, there's always the girl who has to come over, and then the manager comes over, and then sometimes other customers come over. And they're just like wondering, you know, oh, how do you look up, you know, or organic kumquats or whatever. I mean, so I find the self-checkout line is defeatist. You might as well just go through the regular line, Leanne.
I agree. This one, I agree with you. It's not just you. I agree. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I agree. I end up yelling a lot at self-checkout. at the screen when it's like, please remove your items, or you have removed your items from the bagging area. No, I haven't. They are there in the bagging area.
Okay. And the last one, I know you all agree with me on this one, and this is speaking as a gluten-free customer. Is it just me, or is gluten-free gone too far?
Yeah.
Because the other night, I was doing some late-night shopping at our local supermarket, Leanne, and I went to buy some tea, just some tea to make some home-brewed tea that I now do. And then, like, the tea was
hot water. Okay. You add the hot water all by yourself?
Homemade tea.
Home brewing.
That's right. I'm making tea. And the Lipton tea was marked gluten-free. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, the last time I got a box of Lipton, I had, you know, some spaghetti in it. I mean, like, spaghetti. Like, oh, no, this is not the tea with penne. I'm sorry. Like, and, like, do we really need to mark tea boxes gluten-free? Come on.
I'm
with you, Sheila. Yeah. Yeah. People want that reassurance, but yeah.
It's just gone too far. So that's it. I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted. This is an exhausting segment.
It is my new segment. I'll try to make it less exhausting. Next. But these are the things that are like, is it just me or really?
Okay. No, we get it.
I think about it. I think about these things, Leanne.
Okay. Good luck
with those potato chip bags. The struggle. Keep up alive.
All right. So other than International Waffle Day, anyone have anything fun going on this week?
Let me think. Well, we got Veep on Thursday mm-hmm. night. We talked about that. I'm going to DC this week.
Okay.
I'm going to DC this week too. Same time as Liz. I'm going to a wedding at the end of the week. Yes.
You are? That sounds fun.
Yes.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
So we do have some fun going on. See?
Okay.
And Sheila, what's going on with you this week?
I have a medical procedure on Friday. Thank you very much. That is my life. I mean, with the exception of getting my hair done, that's it. It's back to basics.
So you enjoy that.
This one is I'm not looking forward to, but I need to take a day off for it, so that's good. There is some hope.
All right. And on that note, well, Julie and Liz, safe travels. Sheila, good luck next week. I'll be here. Not going to DC. Apparently the only one in the family not going to DC this week. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Can I make one note? Made me laugh this week to see how many people went to check out the English muffins that Megan mentioned on last week's Satellite Sisters. The Trader Joe's English muffins. Megan has started a firestorm of English muffin buying across the country. So congratulations, Megan. Welcome to the sisterhood. You feel the power. You say one thing, people are on it. They are on it. They're going into TJ's and they're finding those muffins. And I love that. And then, Julie, we had several people take up the bra discussion on the Facebook page.
Yes, people are counting their brassieres, Lee, and I'm so happy to see that.
So we'll have to do some follow-up on the Tuesday show, a more exhaustive conversation on just how many bras do people in the Satellite Sisterhood have. So I challenge you to count your bras this week, Julie. And that's it. But everybody have a great week. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.
Hello, Satellite Sisterhood. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Whether you're a longtime listener or new to Satellite Sisters, we always welcome your input and your enthusiasm. In fact, our theme for 2014 is Share the Sisters. So if you're so inclined, help us spread the word about Satellite Sisters. How, you may ask? Well, go ahead and write a review on iTunes or give us the thumbs up on Stitcher if that's where you download the show. We'd love to have you share a link to our show on your Facebook stream, or how about just go to satellitesisters.com and pay us a visit every once in a while over there at our blog. Thank you so much for your support of Satellite Sisters, and don't forget, share the sisters.